We'll be in 1 John chapter 5. And I'd like to, one thing I don't like is I always get emotional, but it's great to have my good friends here. Kurt brings out the competitive side of me. I used to be very competitive. They came over, we shot 31 games of pool. And we were notching, we had our names on a dry erase board, and we were keeping track, and it got to the end of the night, 11:30-ish, and Kurt and I were tied, so we had one last game. And again, I get competitive, and I do not like losing, except I don't mind when the person beats you. And that's something you did. And he clearly just was like, okay, we've been watching TNT, now turn on ESPN in the pro game and watch Kurt shoot. And I mean, he was making some amazing shots. Anyway, it was fun, and I'm blessed to have you guys here to share God's word with. Okay, we're going to focus on two verses today, but we'll have to review a little bit. I've been in 1 John, we've been in 1 John for 2.5 years now, and this is message like number 44 in one form or another, and they're kind of scattered now. So I want to review a little bit because this really does flow into our text. So let's read a few verses, starting in chapter 5, verse 9. This is the word of God. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We looked extensively back in January at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know that you have eternal life. What is it you could possibly want to know more? What could you possibly desire to know more than the reality of being with God forever? And it is possible to know, but you must believe. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, to you who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, your Savior. To you who believe Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To you who believe Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So the question became, what are these things? What things did John write that we would know, that we have eternal life? And it boiled down to the reality of our faith. The reality of our faith. The truth of our faith. And it started with the base reality or the base truth that our faith has to be in Christ and Christ alone. And then when we have that base faith, there was three things we saw. We are then born of God. We have the Holy Spirit which seals us and guarantees us that we are adopted children of God. Second, we saw that we overcome the world. Christ is in us, and Christ overcame the world, and so do we overcome the world. And then we saw that the testimony of God is in us. And I want you to see this. Look at the first part of verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Now verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Listen, brothers and sisters, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, if your faith is in Christ and Christ alone, then the reality of your faith will scream out loud and clear that you are God's child and that you will live with Him forever. God wants us to know and to be sure. God wants us to rest and find peace in this reality. God wants us to worship, praise, and glorify Him, because He has given us Christ who died that we may live forever with Him. Let's pray together. Father, this is a glorious day to be in your house. Father, I am so thankful for your word, and I am thankful that you have given us Christ. There is nothing I can say, Father, that will mean anything. It is your word. It is the power of your word. It is the power of your gospel that saves and changes lives, Father. So I pray for those that aren't here that the power of the gospel would save them today. Those that don't know you that are here. Those that do know you that are here, Father, I pray that your gospel transforms our lives and we believe you more. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get to our passage then. Let's read 1 John 5, we'll start in 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And here's our two verses. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. If we ask for anything, we have the requests. Now, I'm going to see if I can get myself in trouble here. I, Pastor Fred Haberland, believe in the prosperity gospel. In fact, I firmly and positively stand on the truth of the following statement. If you become a believer in Christ, you will become rich beyond your wildest dreams. Amen. That is a part of the gospel of Christ. In fact, after a number of years of being a believer in Christ, I can stand here and tell you that nobody has ever walked the face of this planet, is walking the face of this planet now, or will walk the face of this planet that is richer than I am. Let me be clear. I am rich because I have Christ. Amen. Nobody is richer, but those that have Christ are just as rich as I am. Are you one of them? If you are, if you have Christ, you are. Whether or not you believe it and know it is another thing. What I love about this passage here is there's a couple of things I notice. That the promise by God to give us whatever we ask for is real. Because God says it is. The second thing then is this passage pushes us to the true prosperity gospel. So, the false prosperity gospel says we treat God as a genie and He gives us what we wish for. The real prosperity gospel reveals the love of God and He only cares about our goodness. The false prosperity gospel promises temporal possessions and fleeting joy. The real prosperity gospel delivers us to everlasting peace and joy in Christ. The false prosperity gospel promises us stuff. The gospel gives us Christ forever. Let's dig into the truth of these two verses and look at this incredible promise of God. If the reality of our firmness in faith in Christ leads to our knowledge of eternal security, as we saw in verse 13, then verses 14 and 15 flow from our faith as well. Look back at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. First, I want to give a couple of general observations. What really struck me in this is the simplicity of this passage. It is simple. And the supporting passages we're going to look at are also simple truths. Another observation is these verses presuppose maturity in Christ. Maturity and knowledge of Him and firmness of faith in Christ. There are two keys then that I want you to hold on to through this. Knowledge and truth. Knowing and believing. What are the two keys? Knowing and believing. Let's do it this way. Picture this passage as a very, very simple tool to unearth the most amazing treasure known to mankind. And within the simplicity of this tool, there exists the reality that the more we, what? Know and believe, the greater the treasure becomes. So we have to realize that in this passage, it is reflective of a deep understanding and firmness of faith in Christ. This passage is an earth-moving machine. It is like one of those huge, huge excavators that could move a mountain. So we have to understand that each of us is at a different level of knowing and understanding and believing. Each one of us has a different level. Some of us know very little and our faith wavers. Some of us have a deep knowledge, but our faith is weak. Some of us have a strong faith, but our knowledge isn't deep. Some of us are unearthing treasures with our fingertips. Others are using a shovel. Some of us are using an orange Kubota with a backhoe. And some are like John and are moving mountains because their knowledge is deep and their faith is firm. Let's look at this. We could spend weeks looking at the details, but I promise simplicity and I'll do my best to hold to that. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We'll come back to the first half of this verse later. Let's start with the simple reality is that if we ask, we have to ask. If we desire something from God, we have to ask. Look back at 14 and look at the key to the treasure chest. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him if we ask anything. Watch this now. According to His will, He hears us. According to His will. Then and only then does He hear our requests. And let's be clear though, God always hears us. But as it relates to hearing and answering prayer, it has to be according to His will. According to the will of God. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 2. Ask. If we ask. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. James talks about this in the negative. And I don't suppose that the false teachers of the prosperity gospel take their followers to this passage. James 4, 2 through 10. This is the word of God. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. God tells us through James, you ask wrongly. You come to me and you ask for things to spend on your own passions. You come to me and you ask for worldly things to swell up in pride. God says, I am jealous. I gave you my spirit to dwell in you, and you want to be friends with the world? God says, submit to me and resist the devil. My dear children, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Brothers and sisters, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt us. We do not pray to God for things to satisfy our flesh. We don't pray to God for things to add to our list of possessions so our pride can increase. We don't pray to God to increase our self-esteem. If we want God to hear our prayers, then we must pray according to his will. Let's go back to our passage in 1 John. We ask according to his will and he hears us. Watch what happens next. We'll start in 14 again. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So here is the simple logic, the simple truth of what is happening. We ask God according to his will. God hears us. God gives us our requests. We ask according to his will, and because we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the requests we have asked. Amen, and we're done. It is that simple. It really, really is. This is not magic. This is not fantasy. This is not complicated. This is not something you need a doctorate in theology to understand. This is simple, pure, powerful kingdom of God truth. Thus saith the Lord, ask anything according to my will, and you have it. Just believe God. Turn to Mark 11, 20 through 24. What are the two keys of unearthing the treasures of God? Knowing and believing. Let's see where our faith is to be firmly planted. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. And if you're there, actually, let's look up to verse 12 and read a small portion there first. So Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 14. Jesus is walking along with his disciples. On the following day, when they came to Bethany, he was hungry, speaking of Jesus. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Now on to verse 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Knowing and believing, knowledge and faith, Jesus says, have faith in God. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe, and you have it. What don't we get about this? Do we believe God? Do I believe God? I want to stop digging with my hands, and I want to trade in the plastic spoon that I'm digging with and get in that huge excavator that can move a mountain and put it in the sea. And the thing is, it is the will of God for us to know and to believe Him. Are we asking and are we believing that we have these things? Because He hears us. Back in 1 John, knowing and believing. I want to read this passage again and watch for the faith. Watch for the faith. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Do you see the faith in here? This isn't a trick question. Well, it kind of is, but I think it's very interesting. Do you see the faith in here? Perhaps in verse 14 where John says, confidence in Him. Maybe he meant faith there. But that word does not mean faith. The word means confidence having to do with speaking. It means boldness or frankness in speech. This is the confidence we have toward God. This is the boldness we have toward God when we are speaking to Him. So it's not really speaking about faith per se. And if I said that faith is one of the keys, then where is the faith? This entire passage is faith. Faith is assumed. In this entire passage, faith is extremely evident, even if not directly spoken of. How do we go to the throne of God with boldness in speech? By faith. Faith in the promises of God that Christ brings us there. As I was studying this, I was drawn to the use of the word know instead of the word believe. Look back at 15. And watch how this changes. I'm going to use the word believe here. Watch now. I'm changing this. This is not the word of God. Verse 15. And if we believe that He hears us in whatever we ask, we believe that we have the requests that have been asked for. The words faith and belief are not in this passage because this is maturity in faith in God. John learned what Jesus taught. Believe God, hear God, believe He hears you, believe you receive whatever you ask for. John learned what Jesus taught. Listen now, in regards to faith in prayer, when you are praying according to the will of God, if you move on to knowing He is hearing you, if you move on to knowing you have received what you have asked for, then believing God has been settled in your heart. Believing God was settled in John's heart. He knew God heard him, and he knew that he was receiving what he asked for. Knowing and believing. Let's move on to knowing. Let's read our passage again and watch for knowing. Again, this is a bit tricky. The word know comes up twice. But we've already tied knowing to faith. There is something within this passage we need to know. See if you can pick it out. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. So what is it we need to know, or else this whole promise falls apart? God's will. If we want to claim the promises that are being guaranteed answering our prayers, we must know, understand, believe, and pursue after God's will. So what is the will of God? What is the purpose of God for our lives? Well, consider this summary as we laid it out in our new constitution, and Pastor Dave preached on this not too long ago. This is what our Constitution says our purpose is. This is not the Word of God. We exist to bring glory to God in our families, community, and the world through lives being transformed by the power of the gospel of Christ. First, we exist to bring glory to God. I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, if the end result in one manner or another isn't bringing glory to God, it will not be answered. God is all about His glory. Amen. Second, we mentioned being transformed by the power of the gospel. If you are a believer in Christ, then God's will is clearly laid out in Scripture that you are being conformed to the image of Christ. So be praying towards that end. So God wills for us in the most summarized form is that we give glory to Him and that we are conformed to the image of His Son. So what does that mean to me and to you? Well, where are you in your walk? Are you even walking with God? Are you even digging at all to unearth the riches of God that we have in Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ and become God's child? If you are not a born-again child of God, then where do you start? If you are an unbeliever, start with the reality that God does not want you to die in your sin. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter is talking here about the second coming of Christ. That's the context we're in here. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 7. This is the word of God. By the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exists are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some may count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Lord is coming back. He is coming back to judge and destroy the ungodly. If you aren't clothed in the righteousness of Christ, He's coming back as your judge. But the Lord is patient. He is not wishing. He is not desiring. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. If you want to pray in God's will, pray that God leads you to repentance and faith in Christ and believe. Believe in what Christ did for you on the cross and be saved. In fact, I want to pause right here for a moment and pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for Christ, and we thank You that Your word says if we pray in Your will, that we have those requests. And Your word tells us that You are patient, not desiring or wishing for anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. So I pray, Father, here today that anybody that doesn't know You, anybody that doesn't know Christ, that You would bring them to repentance, Father, and faith in Him. Father, may this be a day that Your kingdom is gloriously increased for Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to share one of my favorite passages. And I came across this last year, and I lingered on it, and I meditated on it, and I've got to tell you people, it can take one verse, and God can change your life. Don't skip over God's word. Linger in it. This is a very simple passage. Again, no doctrine is needed, just simple faith. This passage is in the deep context of faith and is a faith passage itself. And yes, Robin, I love this verse. Hebrews 11:6, this is the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If you want to draw near to God, then you must believe that he exists and you must believe that he rewards you for seeking him. If you want to start digging for the riches of Christ through prayer, then this passage is a great one to linger on and meditate and pray over. Dear God, make yourself real to us. Dear God, reward us for seeking after you. We already have that because it is the will of God. Let's talk about our passage again. We ask God how? According to his will. And we've been talking about his will in regards to what he wills us to do. But don't miss the truth that according to his will means more than that. According to his will means who we pray to, when we pray, where we pray, why we pray, and what we pray for. All these things are according to his will. An example would be who we pray to. We don't pray to a tree. We don't pray to a statue. We don't pray to a person or an angel. We pray to God. We pray to God the Father through the name of the Son of God in the power and guidance of God the Holy Spirit. We pray to God. That is his will. Okay, let's dig a little deeper on his will. Two more passages and we'll be done. If you are a born-again believer in Christ, then what is the will of God for your life? Well, here it is in a nutshell. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is Jesus speaking. And when he says, he said to all, there was massive crowds around him. Verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. When we are praying for God's guidance, are we praying to follow Jesus, really? Are we really, really praying to follow Christ? If you are, then your prayer should be focused on denying yourself. Your prayers should be focused on suffering for the namesake of Christ. Crazy, eh? Remember early on I spoke of digging up treasures? Am I nuts? No, don't answer. Listen now. The reality and truth of following Christ is 180 degrees from what the world will teach. One last passage and we'll be done. Turn to the Gospel of John 16. Gospel of John 16. And in fact, when you get there, keep your finger there and then open back Mark 11. And keep both places because I want to flip back and forth. I want you to see something. And while you're finding those passages, let me say this. Truth is truth. Reality is reality. Truth does not rely on us to be true. And I want to show you what I mean. John 16, 23. Jesus is speaking and talking about when they see him after his resurrection. Verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you. Let's hold up there. How many of you remember the E.F. Hutton commercials? Maybe I'm really dating myself. Remember the commercials? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And everybody would stop what they're doing to listen to Mr. E.F. Hutton. Well, I have to tell you, E.F. Hutton has nothing on Jesus. Jesus is the truth of the Word of God in the flesh. Jesus is pure truth. And when pure truth stands up and says, truly, truly, I say this to you, you better listen. Back to verse 23. In that day when you ask, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Keep your finger there and flip to Mark 11, 24. God gives it to us. Watch now as we see how to receive the gift that is given to us. Mark 11, 24. Jesus again. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Flip back to John 16. Listen now, brothers and sisters. When we ask God according to his will, he gives us whatever we ask. And here's the point. Whether we believe it or not, whether we believe it or not doesn't change the reality. It does not change the truth that he has given it to us. The part most of us are missing is believing that we have it. Because believing we have it is how we claim possession of it. Listen, when we pray in God's will, he gives it to us, period. His word says so. If we want the blessing of the gift, we simply believe God, and it is ours. Or as John puts it, we know he hears. We know we receive. I want to get to this point. I want to get where John is. Because look at verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Brothers and sisters, God is our Father and he wants what's best for us. Jesus says to deny ourselves and to take up our crosses daily. Deny ourselves and suffer for his name's sake and follow him. And the world screams out just the opposite. It's all about me, me, me. But the world cannot satisfy us. Only in Christ can we find the joy and peace of God. Only by following Jesus will we be fulfilled. Seek God in prayer and have your joy be filled. Let's pray together. Father, I fear, Lord, that these simple truths just could be the hardest to believe. And Father, we pray for faith. Give us the faith, Father, to believe you. What's not to believe? You are the God of the universe. You are a creator of everything. You are why we exist. You've saved us. You've given us your word, which is pure truth. What's not to believe? Oh, dear God, help our unbelief. And Father, I just praise you and thank you that you answer that prayer. Let's just believe now that you'll answer it and we'll grow in our knowledge and belief of you. I pray this in Jesus' name.